And joining us now on the Revel Wireless Hotline, our great friend from USA Today, covers the NFL, Jarrett Bell. Jarrett, welcome back to the show.
Hey, Vic, how are you?
I'm doing great, and it was wonderful to spend some time with you down in New Orleans at the Super Bowl, and I know you get a little chance to recover before you jump back into things with the Combine coming up next week. That would be the next big NFL event. But a lot of different things, a lot of discussion going on in the meantime. I want to start, first of all, though, with your thoughts on this team, on this Browns team, and the moves that have been made that you've seen made, the hiring of Rob Chudzinski, North Turner as offensive coordinator, Ray Horton as defensive coordinator, just the whole, and however high you want to start with the owner, Jimmy Haslam, or Joe Banner as CEO. I know you know either something about all these people or you know a lot of them very well in your many years of covering the league.
Yeah, it's good, Vic, to think about what they've got going. Because you don't know, obviously there's the mystery, how is this all going to work? But I think they've given themselves a chance to really have the foundation for some success. And, you know, I like Rob Chudzinski. A lot of people don't know a lot about him because he's been, you know, a lower profile guy. But I followed his career. I remember when he was in Cleveland before,
right,
and on to San Diego and then to Carolina. Really liked what he did last year or 2 years ago now with Cam Newton as a rookie and how he incorporated the college spread scheme there. So he's shown creativity. So now let's see if he can go to the next step. And to bring in North Turner as his wingman, if he will, is just amazing. I think that's the thing that makes you feel even better about Chudzinski, because now North, who, as we know, in following his career, has kind of reached the ceiling as a head coach, but no one has ever really doubted his ability as an offensive guru. And so now he's in a role that, working with Chudzinski, a guy that he brought along, I think you take the ego out of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if North Turner's the offensive coordinator and having to take a job because he was desperate to take a job with somebody, I think it would be a different situation for him personally. But I think this is good for Norv to land in this spot with Chudzinski, a guy that has been one of his guys for a long time. So all that to say, and then Ray Horton on the defensive side, think about what Ray Horton did in Arizona with that defense. And you know his background with Dick LeBeau. So, you know, Ray's been in it for a long time with the Steelers. And so now next step for him is to take the success he had in Arizona and apply it to some new guys in Cleveland.
Right.
I'm excited to see how it's all going to come together. But again, as you know, it oftentimes is determined by talent. And that's going to be the big challenge for the Browns moving forward, is to really see if they can get some playmakers and really identify the real building blocks. And that starts with the quarterback. I mean, is he your long-term guy? You know, we'll see. So nowhere to go but up, but like I said, some good people in place.
Yeah, definite discussion about the quarterback position for sure. What a shock there, I'm sure, around Cleveland and around the entire NFL, for that matter, Jarrett. And it starts with this. You bring up the fact, of course, Brandon Whedon, is he the long-term guy? And that's question one. Does the people who are in charge now feel that way about him, as opposed to the group that brought him in and that sought to kind of cultivate and work him into that role, and he would have a more definitive spot had that not changed at the top, but it did. So that's one thing. The other thing, and I know there's a fair amount of thought that North Turner can do a lot to help Brandon Whedon, as he mm-hmm. could do with any quarterback. But that said, what are the other options? And the names you hear bandied about are, you know, is a Joe Flacco going to be available in free agency? And I'm with you. No, I answered no to that previously to talking with you. But there's one. And then the other one is Alex Smith, possibly via trade.
Yeah. You know, Alex Smith is a veteran guy. And you'd feel comfortable with Alex Smith, I think. But I think if you looked at Alex Smith for your team and the quote-unquote long-term, I don't know if he's that guy. I don't know if I'm running the Browns, if I want to bring him in to be the short-term guy, because ultimately you're going to have to still get his replacement. I mean, there's something to be said to have a number of quarterbacks, okay, to have good backups and to have depth and all of that. But if it's Alex Smith versus Brandon Whedon, and, of course, a lot of that depends on what you said a minute ago, Vic, what they see in this guy relative to what the previous regime saw, I think that he's good enough to start with. And then if you can bring in a guy that you see as your long-term guy, then maybe you replace him. If not, I guess it comes down to the evaluation of what you think you have in Brandon Whedon, okay, and how much better can he get in the system. I mean, he's still a young old quarterback, an old head who's young, right?
Right.
And so you can work with that, I think. So now we'll find out a little bit about North Turner and his magic, because North Turner worked with Alex Smith, okay? And I remember having a conversation with Alex Smith a couple years ago when he was on, like, coordinator number 5 in 6 years or whatever. And, you know, his connection with North Turner was, you know, pretty impressive. And until Harbaugh got there, that was the best coordinator that Alex Smith had ever had. So that's something to kind of include in this equation, is the history that they have there. But again, that said, I think long term, maybe you want to get somebody that you really think you're going to have for a number of years. And, you know, Alex Smith is still, you know, young enough that you could see him for a number of years, but you know, I'm still not sure of that one yet, because it's going to depend on what they see in Brandon Whedon.
Jared Bell from USA Today joining us on the Revel Wireless Hotline here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. And that's the other part of this quarterback conversation, is where else can you go to find a guy? Matt Flynn in Seattle. Maybe he's available as well in some form, trade or something, that the Seahawks will try to get some asset from him. The Washington Redskins, I mean, do they go into the trade market with a Kirk Cousins backing up Robert Griffin III?
Even if RG3 was healthy, I think the timetable on Kirk Cousins was at least a couple of years. And now that RG3 is recovering from the blown up knee, I don't even think it's an option for this year.
Yeah.
So it's tough to get quarterbacks. But remember, the Seattle Seahawks got Russell Wilson in the third round.
Right.
Hats off for them. And so. And you see Whedon was a first-round pick. So sometimes it's a matter of what you see. The thing that I hate is that, you know, we get into these situations, you know, media-wise, where these names get thrown out and all of a sudden things become fact before they become fact, just because of name and because of word of mouth and all of that. Hey, I haven't broken down the quarterbacks in this year's draft class. Everybody says, "Oh, it's a weak class." It's not as strong as last year, obviously, without Luck and RG3 at the top. But I don't know if there's not a guy there somewhere. You know, maybe EJ Manuel, you know, who might end up being the next Russell Wilson. That's for somebody else who is in that spot to determine. And there's somebody out there that's going to be good that we're probably not even talking about right now, and people are saying, oh, it's a bad class, you got to go get a veteran. That's where you kind of win in this league, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's why what the Browns are going to be able to do personnel-wise is going to really, you know, have, you know, a tremendous effect on how successful they are. The fact that Washington got Kirk Cousins when they got him. I mean, I mentioned Russell Wilson. But
yeah.
Think about Kirk Cousins. So there are guys out there, and that's the deal. I mean, if you can spot them and then develop them, you may not have to go out and get Matt Flynn.
Well, the beauty of what you're talking about in a so-called down year for quarterbacks, or at least a year that doesn't look to be anywhere near as scintillating as last year's was,
yeah,
is that with the combine coming up next week, Jarrett, these guys are going to work out. We're hearing Geno Smith going to do everything at the combine. We're hearing Ryan Nassib, the Syracuse quarterback. Geno, of course, from West Virginia, but Ryan Nassib, the SU quarterback, going to do everything at the combine. And I think it makes more sense now that, you know, you don't have any of these elite players, or at least a sense that they're going to be very elite in their draft status, that they're worried about the combine hurting their stock.
Yeah, and that's always good. I mean, that's part of the process, and obviously the people who have been scouting for the teams have, you know, have had a lot of these guys on their radar all along. the combine will be part of the evaluation process, what they have on tape, how they project them to fit into a certain system. All that stuff will come into play. But you're right, the competition has been ratcheted up because you don't have Andrew Luck, RG3, and then the rest of them, right? So, yeah, you know, Geno Smith, hats off to you, kid. It's time to make a name for yourself, et cetera, and go down the list with that. But, again, like I say, without really being an expert on this draft class and who the prospects are and, you know, barely haven't had a chance to become familiar with a lot of these guys, I can't sit here and finger individuals, but I just know they're there, whoever they are, that, you know, may end up being, you know, worth taking a shot at.
Yeah, that will be exactly, and you're right, it'll be getting into those different levels, those different tiers of quarterbacks beyond the Landry Jones, beyond those obvious names that we're going to be kicking around and see what happens. And only, I guess, only after the combine, after the on-campus workouts and the drilling down, do you really find out who those guys are and those Russell Wilson types of players are. And I think we'll get more evidence on that. One other thing I want to ask you about is Michael Vick and the deal that he ends up doing with the Philadelphia Eagles and your thoughts on just where you see the Eagles going with him.
Yeah, well, I thought that was what they had to do, really. And, you know, it's weird because had you asked me in December, I would have said, okay, he's gone, like everybody else thought that he was finished. But then when you think about Chip Kelly and the type of offense that he'll probably put in, you know, with some movement and, you know, the mobile quarterback, then Michael Vick makes a lot of sense. And, you know, I remember a conversation I had with Vick back in December, and he just marveled at what Mike Shanahan was able to do with RG3 in terms of building that system around his talents. And I mentioned it with Chudzinski and Cam Newton. So if you're creative enough, that's good. But here's the thing with Michael Vick, is that you can't get that talent anywhere, okay?
Right.
Unless you, I mean, you can get an RG3, but, I mean, that talent speaks for something. Now it's up to you as a coach and as a team and organization to try to get the most out of it. And I just think that it was too much to let just walk away without at least trying to mine it. And so it seems to make perfect sense, Vic. You know, give him a one-year deal, you know, restructure it, make it, you know, more amenable to your salary cap, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But you give him a chance to earn his longevity there, and you give yourself a chance to see what you have and can you work with this. So I think it's a win-win situation, because if you're Michael Vick, if it doesn't work out and you're a free agent, then you're going to still go and start over somewhere else, be it Cleveland, be it Kansas City, be it Buffalo. You were still going to have to go somewhere and reset the clock again. So why not do it in Philadelphia?
Well, Jarrett, this was a tremendous breakdown, as always, from you, and we love having you on the show for that very reason. I look forward to seeing you in Indianapolis next week.
Okay, Vic. You take care, man.
All right.
Yes,
we appreciate it. Jarrett Bell joining us via the Revel Wireless Hotline from USA Today, right here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. We've got much more coming up on ESPN 850 WKNR.